How is everybody doing? And welcome back for another Strength Chat episode. Today, I've got a very special guest for you all. Today, I'm joined by the owner of Four Pillars Studio up in Glasgow. He's got countless qualifications and years of coaching experience to his name. Today, I'm joined by the one and only Ben Wright. How are you doing?
That was an exceptional introduction. I appreciate that, man. One thing about me is I'm incredibly humble, and I hate taking sort of any sort of compliments. It makes me feel really uncomfortable. But I'll take that. That was nice, man. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. That's amazing.
Awesome. No, thanks a lot for taking the time to jump on. How are you? What's been happening in your world recently?
Things are busy, man. So trying to run a facility full time, still doing sort of 27 to 30 hours on the floor between a Monday to Friday, looking after a new boy, a new baby boy. He's 6 months old almost now, and baby Noah, kind of co-parenting with his mother, which is good. And yeah, so all of that, including just like life training, trying not to die, 43 years old now. So just like try to make conservative decisions towards how I train, when I train, and like the intensity that I'm doing it so I don't burn out. Things are definitely changing as I get older, but generally just still getting stronger and fitter and healthier, looking after all the current clients, the online clients. So we're starting to build up the online side right now, a little bit more. So building in the performance programming on that side for new guys coming in, taking a big scope to just helping men, certain types of men, certain types of demographics of men, on the online side. So that's exciting as well. And in between that, running like local events for a company called Oxygen that do transformational breath work, holistic stuff, cold water therapy, rapé, which is like medicinal tobacco stuff. And then starting to reintroduce my own workshops over the next 2 months as well that I was doing back in 2022 to 2023, helping coaches in here understanding like fundamentals of biomechanics, first principles of assessment, and program design for the big three essentially. So quite busy right now, dude.
A lot to keep you busy. How are you balancing that? Obviously, you know, I mentioned having a little one. How are you balancing all of that?
Well, you know, when you look at like running a business and all the systems that are involved in that as well, man, I'm sure you understand. It's like, can I be available on social media every day? Am I speaking to the right demographics? Have I got time to sit aside every day and do outreach, conversations, building new social media stuff, like making sure that I'm recording the right content, and then making sure that I'm looking at my finances and my taxes and all the other sort of intricacies that go into working with the business, looking after the current clients, their packages, their memberships and all that. And it's pretty intense. Sometimes I maybe don't give myself the respect that I should give myself for being able to micromanage so many tasks at one time, but it just comes down to task efficiency. And I feel like if I've just got everything laid out on my diary, on my laptop essentially, and I sit down on a Sunday night, I do what I call my power week. I'll sit down, I'll write everything in the books, and everything just stays there, and I'll just go one task at a time, bish bash bosh, and just stay as present as possible with that specific task at that time, because I can get multitask central. Like I'll be writing an email for something whilst texting a client, whilst doing a program design for another client, whilst then trying to do something over here, whilst trying to feed a baby. But it's like, nah, task specificity is massive. Just like training, just focus on the one task that you're doing and you will get the most out of it. So really just kind of try to do that right now, not get too beat up with the intricacies of all these different processes, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to ask that because I find it for myself, you know, with a lot of other things, you know, like yourself trying to concentrate on. I always like to see if I'm, you know, going too far wrong or what I can, you know, learn off other people as well. But I think the key word that you've said there is, you know, that efficiency with everything, because, yeah, sometimes all of a sudden it's like, oh, do this. No, wait, I need to do this first and then do that, because ultimately then you're going to be able to do a better job of it rather than do, you know, a bang average job of everything, trying to do everything at once. I did a little bit of a brief introduction there, and you've kind of touched on, you know, a lot of other things that you're involved with. But for everyone listening who might not know your background in coaching, in training, and, you know, to the point where you're at now, just want to give a little bit of a background to yourself.
Yeah, man. So like I used to work in oil and gas for 15 years. Prior to that, I actually worked as a care worker for like autistic children. Fell into the oil and gas after I had my first son. I was about 15 years on the rigs, worked my way up through like roughneck, damping and all that kind of stuff, roused about deck foreman up to the cranes, ran the cranes, then became like a lead crane operator globally for Sparrows. working specifically with deconstruction of like rigs, or breaking them down essentially when we were going through like that phase. And I just got a little bit tired, a little bit fed up, a little bit sick of it. I was always kind of into training, lifting, rock climbing, stuff like that. Broke my leg rock climbing. I had a really bad injury, had to take time off work. My physio got me into weightlifting, fixed up a lot of the issues that were going on with my lower back from that. And then basically over the years, just transitioned from crane up to personal trainer. And it was just a question of like, well, what do I love doing? I love coaching people on the decks offshore. I love training. Ideally, then for me, looking at those two things, probably a good job for me would be a PT, which was wild to think like, you know, six figure salary working offshore to then basically giving it all away to earn, I think, 15 grand in my first year when I did personal training. I never worked in public gyms, so I built a gym in my back garden on my property, and I just basically winged it, mate. I was chapping on doors, handing out flyers, speaking to people in shops, cafes, telling people who I was, trying to scrape the barrel for like clients, and spent 18 months offshore transitioning between, you know, crane up to PT to business owner, reading multiple books, going all the way back to like reading every book by Tudor Bompa, every book by Charles Poliquin, every book by Paul Check, and really just trying to get a grasp of like where things came from and where they were, as opposed to like looking at modern day stuff, really trying to see where things were coming from. I was lucky to have a good couple of mentors during that process that were actually coached themselves by Charles Poliquin and people like that. So they really helped me sort of like funnel my education down the right channels, as opposed to getting caught up into the modern day stuff, which wouldn't have served any purpose really. So kind of from that period on there, just built it up to where it is now, man, and just take what I do. And I like to think about simplification. Like, I'm not training world-class athletes. I'm not training guys that step on stage. I'm not training any of these people. I'll train some amateur athletes, but you know, I generalize in basically gen pop clientele. But how can I take the specifics from all of these really intricate modalities and really make it enjoyable and skill specific for people that are getting off the couch, that want to be able to master the art of the barbell, or master the art of like endurance work, or master the art of understanding like how the body functions in time and space under load? And it's really interesting to see that, regardless of like how intricate and, you know, deep you can go down the funnel of all this stuff, it's applicable to everyone essentially if you really start to break it down and just use the fundamentals of that. So that's kind of where we are now, you know.
And with that, especially for, you know, the maybe younger trainers, younger coaches listening, what you said there was, you know, reading everything, but then also going door to door, trying to, you know, speak to clients, you know, get clients. Do you think that was a good balance to have? Because sometimes, you know, for or a good experience to have, because sometimes younger trainers, younger coaches can maybe think, I just need more qualifications. But then, you know, it's how you actually apply what you've learned as well. Do you think that kind of helped you build up your client base by having that, you know, yes, you're going to read and do courses, but actually, you know, spending hours on the gym floor and speaking to people, even if, you know, those people may not be training with you straight away, but just building up those relationships.
Yeah, man, I think, you know, when you start to understand the difference between education and knowledge, you know, I figured out many years ago that, like, you know, education is between the paper. It's all the pages that you read. Knowledge, the first four letters, is know, knowing. Knowing is then the application of understanding what we're trying to utilize from the stuff that we get educated on. And if you read a book and can only apply 10% of it, then that's fine. Like, if it's 10% that you can fully know, that's something that you can then apply. I think the problem with coaches these days, is just this abundance of social media. Even going back like 8 years when I first started, there wasn't so much social media. Instagram was just post a picture and get a like. Now it's like this marketing thing, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, and then you get this abundance of you can make your first 10 grand in the first 3 months and all this kind of stuff. And you then get people that are selling fitness, and then you get people that are teaching fitness. And I think if personal trainers want to be good personal trainers, stop trying to sell fitness and start trying to teach fitness. So start reading the books that are applicable to the stuff that you actually fucking enjoy. You can go and read a book on sport periodization of strength by someone and actually fucking hate it. Maybe you need to go and read Mike Mentzer's high intensity training and go and apply that if that's what gets you going. But just be really good at that and then apply it to see kind of what results you get. And it really is that fuck around and find out within the first, I'd say, 3 to 5 years of PT. And you really are fucking around and finding out, like, not just like what the types of people you want to train, but the kind of results that you can get from people and what your niche really is. It's taken me 8 years to really niche down into where I want to go and how I want things to look like subjectively through four pillars itself. And I think it's just really a patience game, but there's a lack of patience in the industry right now. It's all very money driven. And if I could give advice to like the guys coming into the industry, just be fucking patient and just like enjoy the ride a little bit and don't get caught too much up on like numbers and finances and how many sales you can get, but really just start to find out what you're good at and like what you're interested in and what really starts to get that fire going. So I'll tell you now, when you've got 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 clients, that fire soon gets put out because you've got so many other tasks that you need to take care of that sometimes you sit down at the end of the day and like, why the fuck did I get into this? Like, why am I doing this shit? But then when you start to think to yourself, well, what was it that got me first into this field of work? It really starts to drive you again into understanding your purpose, your values, your beliefs, and what needs to put you, you know, through the next sort of 12 months of your job with this high amount of volume of traffic coming through. But if you don't have that at the start and you don't realize what your purpose, vision, and belief is around training and the people you want to help, you're going to struggle later on down the line because when you need to fall back on that, it doesn't exist. And that's when you leave the industry because you lack that purpose, you know?
Absolutely. You spin that around to, you know, as a coach, as a trainer, speaking to a client, what's your why? Why do you want to achieve that goal? And, you know, what I'll always ask clients is, you know, does that excite you? You know, is that when you say your goal, is it like, yeah, actually, do you know what? I want to be able to do this. Like, it's got to be an exciting thing. And I think sometimes when it comes to, you know, I don't think a lot of coaches, a lot of trainers, apply that to themselves, because like what you touched on there with, you know, Instagram, with social media, it's kind of this all consuming monster, if you like, because there's things there saying you need to do this, you need to do that. And you know, when we touched on there about information, we're probably in the age of too much information. You know, you can, you know, Google anything and you're going to get those answers, you know, straight away, whereas, you know, something that is lacking, like what you said there, is that patience, not just in terms of, you know, building up your knowledge and experience as a coach, as a trainer, but also in terms of, you know, results. You know, it's not just a flash in the pan of, right, you need to do this for 4 weeks and then that's it. You know, it's got to be something, you know, a little bit long term. And with that, you know, one of the things that, you know, one of your values is building trust with the people that you're working with. I just wanted to touch on that, is, you know, why is that so important, and how can building trust and getting buy-in from the clients that you're working with impact other areas outside of the gym, not just in the gym, if that makes sense?
Yeah, man. Well, I think, like, you know, if you... Firstly, like touching on a couple of things you said there, like I think 5 years, like any job that I'm 43 now, and I've been through a whole bunch of different jobs in my life, and I got very good at every single one of them. But one thing that came in common with every single job that I've had, my career, was 5 years. For me specifically, 5 years to really master that craft. I mean, what, am I 43 now? I've been doing this for 8 years. I've probably worked an average of 25 hours a week on the gym floor. Do the maths on that. That's a lot of hours training people, human beings, face to face, whilst running an online company. But with that, you get so many results. Like if I have someone coming around to see me to fix my car, I'm going to do a little bit of research on that person, that company. I'm going to look at their results, look at what they've got going on. It's like when you go on Amazon, you look for the fucking results on the stars and all that. You're looking for clout. You're looking for something that's going to offer you kind of some sort of like very objective data to say this thing, or this thing that I'm doing, or this person I'm buying into can actually do their job. That's the first level of trust. And that first level of trust that you're going to get with your clientele comes through social media 99.9% of the time, this sort of like day that we're living, because people, that's all people do, right? Especially if you're looking to just go down the online side. So how do you build in a level of trust via social media? Well, firstly, you've got to be likable to a certain demographic that you're trying to speak to. You've also got to look at, like, I always look at four key areas of social media being sort of relatability, success, impact, and what was the other one? Education. So I just know that if my four posts that go out across the week as a minimum cover these four key ingredients, I can educate people. and they're going to get a quick result just by looking at my social media, where may that be exercise, nutrition, mindfulness, happiness, four pillars, what we do here. May that be some kind of relatability post. They could see like me being a dad, me lifting heavy weights, me juggling all these tasks, me training clients. They're going to be like, okay, man, this guy talks the talk, walks the walk. Then if you can like say, well, okay, we can do an impact post. He's going to shout and scream at you through the internet. What are you fucking doing? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Make them feel a little bit uncomfortable. That builds a little bit of communication. And then if we can get some success posts up showing your clients doing X, Y, and Z that are relatable to what they want as a certain type of goal, then you've got four key things there that you can really use every single week to start buying into the people that need to trust you. Once they get through this level one of trust and they get them through the door and we start to build relationships, we need to then go back to the basic fundamentals of life. And I don't know whether you've ever read a book called, it's called Sex at Dawn. And it's about the evolution of why we're here, essentially. And one of the things they say in there that really resonated to me before I built Four Pillars was, you know, we're here for two reasons. We're here to like breed and have more of us so that we could keep civilizations alive. But the other one is, it is to connect. Like, so regardless of like what you're doing in your business, regardless of what you're trying to do, you need to have the ability to connect. And then you need to be able to like start to break down the structure of what connection means to you. And a lot of these things will be from, you know, empathy, conversations, trust, open conversations, like leaning into to certain aspects of that person's life and being able to support and show value. And if you could do that on a singular basis, once they've got through that, that's level two. Now you've got level two connection point. Now, if you can do that with 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 people, then you can start to build a community, and that community, they can all start to bleed into that trust factor and that, you know what I mean? And then they're all kind of bleeding off each other, all leaning into each other's success, each other's things. And that's where you can really start to build a community of your own, where we start to see, like, you know, you could do like workshops or weekends away, or you could do like events, or you could do all this kind of stuff. And then from the outside perspective, you no longer need to worry about whether you're going to be able to, you know, build trust with a client. Because you are trust, because you've spent so long over that first few years building in these systems into your business that people no longer need to trust you. You're just going to be trusted, but you need to earn that right.
Yeah.
You can't just go online and say, buy into my 12-week shred package to turbocharge this and skyrocket that and expect someone to trust you. Like, trust is built and it takes such a long time. 5 years, I think, for any coach to really understand their niche and build trust, not just on a one-on-one perspective, but within an industry standard. Like, I signed up to Mark Cole's business mentorship a month ago. And I paid this guy a substantial amount of money. He asked me why. And I says, I was on a podcast listening to Jordan Shallow speak to you. That's it. I trust Jordan Shallow with my life when it comes to my business.
Yeah.
And I was thinking of a new business coach speaking to Mark. So I took on Mark. That's trust. He has built that standard that he can literally go on a podcast and someone like me will go, I'm going to pay for that guy. It's a lot of money. I'm going to pay for him because that's trust 101. But then how did Jordan do that? I don't know, 15, 20 years in the industry doing what he's doing with the certain type of results he gets. And for me, that's kind of how I see it in a very long winded manner. Sorry.
that makes sense. I think that's you know, like what you said there, just putting something out and being, you know, let's just do this. It's like, well, why? You know, why would you do that? It's a little bit like, you know, the thing that was going through my head is, you know, a little bit like when you mentioned about, you know, if someone was coming to fix your car, if you were looking for a car, you wouldn't just, you know, there's a reason why, you know, the analogy that I use, there's a reason why a Ferrari is that much, you know. You don't ever walk in and be like, are you sure? You know, if they've spelled Ferrari wrong, you're going to be a little bit like, I'm not going to go for that. Whereas actually, you know, there's a reason why, you know, Ferrari, Audi, all these cars, you know, it's got that trust there. All right, you know, a completely different interest in industry. But it makes, you know, it makes sense, you know, to put that investment through and build it and build it up through there. In terms of, because obviously, you know, through the lens of social media, you know, you said that as level one, that's one area going through. Do you think that, because as humans, we need to be part of, I can't remember where I read this, but, you know, we need to be part of tribes. We need to be, you know, around people. And the thing that you said there about communities is really important. Do you think that's why we find a lot of people, when we're talking about Gen Pop, wanting to gravitate towards powerlifting, CrossFit, you know, and try and find an identity with these specific areas?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's culture, isn't it? Like, there's a culture behind all these things. Like, people are just looking for a certain type of culture. So if you have a certain type of identity in your head of who you are, you're going to want to fit into something. Like, it's very rare to find people like to call themselves introverts. They're not really introverts just because you're like a Saturday night in by yourself. Doesn't make you an introvert. Everyone will always want to be part of something. It's bled into our DNA. Even the most introverted people that I meet here through my business, and I work specifically as a private one-to-one facilitator. We don't do classes. I don't niche out and do a small group training. It's one-to-one private facilitation. Even the most introverted people within this will still want to come to the Christmas parties or the events or the stuff that I put on across the year. And it's just this understanding of culture and like-minded people. CrossFit's a great example, like just a great example. It's just such a beautiful way to get anyone and everyone into one room. And now HYROX is doing the same, and people can slate HYROX. It's like a down-regulated version of CrossFit, you know what I mean? Or whatever it is, it's just, you know, intensity training. But when I see all of these HYROX gyms up where I work here at Morris Park, all training together, there's a beautiful sort of scene of just like community and culture, and everyone's just sort of getting along. So I don't think, you know, it's person specific. So if you were to look at that, you could say, well, everyone's going to want to be part of something, but then the personality type is going to gravitate towards a certain type of community, right? Like, yeah. If someone likes a lot of novelty, then they're probably going to go towards HYROX and CrossFit. If someone likes a lot of specificity, they're probably going to go towards powerlifting, or they're going to go towards something like what I do here. So it's really just about understanding that everyone's their own type of person, but they're always going to gravitate to like-minded people as well. So when you look at your business and you look at what you're doing as a coach, like, just understand that. Like, don't ever take it personally because, you know, one business is getting more clients than you quicker or whatever it is. It's just that you have a certain type of niche, and then that niche will gravitate towards other people. So it's just about understanding who you're training. And I think the more you understand yourself, I guarantee, like, yourself as well, mate, you probably find like a lot of the clients that you train are very much like you. Your best clients are very much like you. They enjoy the same things as you. They talk about the same things as you. They want to lift like you. They want to do things like you. These are your best clients. Nothing wrong with that. Stop trying to train people that don't want to be anything like you. Like, train the ones that see value in you and build your culture and your community on that, essentially, you know?
Yeah, it does have the adverse effect of sometimes this client I've trained him for the last couple of years, and sometimes he likes to train first thing on a morning, so we'll train, and sometimes that just turns into a coffee morning, and I have to sometimes think, no, we need to get some training done now. But, you know, that's part of what I think is a big factor is enjoying it, you know, and ultimately that's where you're going to get the best out of the people that you're working with. When you're actually talking about results, and you mentioned the tier there of actually, you know, like on social media, sharing examples of success, and, you know, the proof is in the pudding, what results are you actually having? In terms of the, when we touched on knowledge, training, exercises, you know, programming, all that information is out there. You know, you mentioned there, you can have a look at loads of different systems and find out which one excites you. When we're talking about community, building trust, building relationships with clients, do you think that's the that's what's going to help see results with, you know, the training things alongside, rather than potentially people thinking, just do this program, this is going to get you results, and that's it?
Yeah, definitely. I think I mean, there could be multiple factors why a client doesn't get results. Like, I have a lot of clients, and, you know, I've been training a client for 3.5 years, and he will never, ever drop a pound of fat. Like, it's just not what he's going to do. I've got a call coming. I'm just declining all that. Go away. And then there's some clients that will come on, they'll get the best results ever, but they all stay on for a certain reason. But like, you're not going to get any results from anyone that you don't trust. Like, I paid into a business mentorship about a year and a half ago, £7,000. And when I went onto the course, I didn't trust them because I felt like they didn't see who I was. And everyone in life wants to be seen. They want to be heard. If you can help allow someone to feel seen and heard, that's an immediate buy-in of trust. And when I went into this facilitation, they didn't see me, they didn't hear me, and they tried to standardize me into this cookie cutter plan like everyone else, which was really painful for me because I paid such a large amount of money. Now I took my money back and I never did it again. And it really put me off that coaching for a long time. And the same thing can happen with our clients. Like if they go to a personal trainer and they don't feel like they're seen, they don't feel like they're heard, they want them able to trust them. And I probably see every other personal trainer on the planet as the same. So like when you get a client through the door, like let them be seen, let them be heard, understand their pain points, understand their values, their beliefs, understand who they are, their personality type, get to know that person. Because if they trust you, they will listen to you. And if they listen to you, they will get the results because they believe in what you say. So you could have all the expertise under the sun, but if a client comes in and they feel like they're going to be bracketed into everyone else and what they're doing, they're not going to trust you, which is why, yeah, you're training. Like all these coaches are advertising bespoke training plans or nutritional guidance. Well, why are we advertising that? That should be the standard. Yeah. Like that is a standard. You're not paying for that. That is the standard of our role. Like it should all be bespoke and standardized around that person specifically. But if you don't see them and if you don't hear them, then they won't trust you. And if they don't trust you, they will leave. There is obviously other facets as to why people don't get results. It could be the lifestyle, it could be finances, could just be they're just not into it. Maybe they didn't enjoy the process. Maybe it's just not a good fit. But fundamentally, like when we look at trust, like the trust and the buy-in is really what's going to help you pull that client through the first 3 to 4 years of their training. And if you can get a client to retain in for 2, 3, 4 years, you're doing really well with that client because that means they trust you. And if they're not getting the best results, it doesn't matter because they trust you and they're buying into a service that they believe they need to be part of because they feel part of a culture, a community that supports their needs and values, you know?
Yeah. And I think that when we talk about results, it's dependent on the person. So in the gym, we have like a benchmarking week. So we do it every 3 months, have a look at strength, fitness and see where we're at. It's like a really good, really good week in the gym. Chatting to one guy and he smashed all of his PBs. Like he just looked, and I just said to him, I was like, getting strong is pretty cool, isn't it? And he was like, yeah, like it feels good. He did have goals when he first came in of, you know, I wanted to lose weight, wanted to get a little bit fitter. He has lost a little bit of weight. He is a little bit fitter. But ultimately, he just turned around and was like, do you know what? Actually, I just want to keep with this. You know, yes, you know, could he lose a little bit more weight? Probably. But, you know, he's just enjoying the journey, the process, if you like, which I think, which goes into the next point is, you know, sometimes when we've said there, people are looking for something. I think people are looking to trust somebody, you know, with their goals. Do you think that's where, as a client, they end up getting in this cycle of just, you know, trying things and then falling off, trying things and then falling off, because they're actually looking for somebody to be like, look, you know, trust me with your goals, with your health and fitness, and I can get you there.
Have you ever heard of the emotional cycle of change?
Yeah.
That's it though, isn't it? You know, someone sees your social media, this guy can do the job. They jump on a call, how often they're completely revved up. They're like, yes, this is the task. This is already, they're there. They're already at the end goal. They're like, we've achieved this already. And then they go through this kind of like pessimistic phase where they're like, all right, cool. There's a lot of work involved here and I'm not really seeing the results, but they just keep going because they realize it's the start of the journey. You get to that bottom bit, which is the valley of despair. And a lot of the time people just get to this valley of despair and they just fuck off back to the start again. They go through this vicious cycle of bum, 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 round and round in circles till like they just don't want to do it anymore. And that's when things really get out of hand. Our job and our role isn't just the facilitation at the start and that guidance through that first sort of like, say, okay, let's say 6 weeks or 8 weeks, 12 weeks, whatever it may be. But every single client you will have at some point, it doesn't matter how good they start at the start, will reach the valley of despair. There will be some reason why they get stuck. That's where coaching turns from personal training to coaching. That's when your skills as a coach really matter. How well you can start to help them navigate that hard task. When they come out of that hard task, that's when they come back up that optimistic phase towards that goal, towards that vision, like that end goal, essentially. they start to see changes, maybe body composition's improving, maybe their friends are saying they're looking healthy, maybe they pull their first PB, maybe they win their first meet, maybe they run their first ultra, maybe from a holistic standpoint, they haven't drank in 24 weeks, whatever it might be, they start to see the results. That's a huge driver. And if you can just get them through to that part, like it will just continue going. If you can get them there, retention's high. Retention's really high at that point, which is why it's so important that we try and get our clients whatever results they need, whatever that thing that they really, really desire at the start, some tangible result before they get to that valley of despair. So that when they get there, they're still buying a trust, and then we can guide them through that and bring them back up to sort of fulfillment. And when you have a client and you show them this, undulating effect through that, you can really say, well, where are you right now? Well, this is what we need to do. It's a great visual for them to have. You know, that's kind of what I use all the time with the guys, you know?
Yeah. And is that, would you say that's a natural cycle of, right, okay, you are gonna feel those things. And in terms of your best approach, you said there about having something visual to sit down and be like, look, what is it that we're struggling with? Is that your approach? And you know, how when you have that trust, how do you make them think, look, you know, this is the next steps that we need to do? What's kind of your process with that?
Well, I think, like, you know, when you look at that that undulating effect that we were just talking about there, it's like that applies for everything and everyone, even us as business owners. Like, how many times you've gone through these plunges with business and then you kind of go through the fulfillment stage. But yeah, I'm kind of lost on that question. Just ask me that a little bit more simplistic. Yeah.
So when we're at that point, so we've got a client and we're down at the bottom, thinking, you know, why am I doing this? You know, I'm not seeing any results.
Okay.
With your client, what's your approach of what's the intervention that you put in place to think, right, this is how we go on the upward curve?
I think it's always just about looking at the process. I think a lot of time when people get to that point, they've forgotten how far they've came. I think it's always about just taking them straight back to the start and just recalibrating those pain points. Like, what were those initial pains? Like, why did we sign up? What were those initial pains? What happens if we leave? Yeah. Do we keep going forward or do we go back to where we were? Now you got to ask yourself the question, is it worth staying to make sure that we can navigate this? Or do we go back to the start? Which one's more painful? And it's going back to the start and making sure that we're looking at that. And again, like celebrating small wins. I think a lot of the time, a lot of our clients can just get a little bit lost with the journey so far. I think sometimes just giving them a clear understanding of all the good stuff that they've put in place. All right, maybe you didn't do this, maybe you didn't do this, but you've done all of this good stuff. You've done all of these little things. So that means we're progressing. It doesn't mean we're progressing at the rate that you would like, but it does mean that we're moving forward. And just making sure that, like, if we've done a chunk of time, say 90 days, for example, we can really go back and look at that. Other intervention points is understanding that we could pre-perceive that. So I know with my guys, like, I will have a call booked in with them after their first 90 days, after their first 2 weeks. So 2 weeks in, they'll get like a type form link, and it's a questionnaire asking them about the journey so far. How's things going? What do we need to do to improve on? After that, it's like a 3 month, and then it's, you know, we just keep moving forward, recalibrating goals, resetting goals every 6 months, and making sure on their performance sheets, when I'm doing their check-ins every week, I'm doing a Loom recording, and I'm just kind of covering the basis of their performance sheet so they can see visually where they're at. Check-in services are huge, and I think we can mitigate a lot of these problems if we have proper check-in services, if we have the right communication skills to be able to make them available to the client so that they can see the roadmap as it's going along. So you can have the pre-existing roadmap, you could have the roadmap that's being built as you go, and then you just have the check-in services to make sure that you're reiterating every single week where they're at, how far they've come, what they need to adjust, and where they can keep going from. If a client gets lost and they go freaking off the face of the planet and you don't know where they are, you can guarantee they're probably going to come back with a whole bunch of problems. So it just comes back to communication. But I'd always say, if a client's really stuck, let's just take a look at the pain points. Where were we? Where are we now? Can you see the progress? Is it worth going further? Or would you like to stop and just go back to the start? And 9 times out of 10, it's like, yeah, let's just keep moving forward. And it's about celebrating the small wins, which I don't think people do enough of.
Not all. I think there's a number of variables that people can track, and they're sometimes I feel as though they just get hung up on certain things, on one variable that isn't going very well. Whereas there's all this great stuff that they're doing over here. When we spoke at the start, one of the words that you mentioned was efficiency, you know, and focusing on that task at hand. Do you think that when you said there about people getting lost in the process or lost in the journey, do you think the further that people go through this, and they're getting fitter, getting stronger, all those sorts of things, that they end up starting to think, oh well, if I'm doing this, I can do this as well. If I'm doing this, I can do this as well. And that's where they end up getting a little bit lost, because they want to then try. They feel as though they can do everything, as opposed to still just thinking, right, we need to just keep this pace, you know, as it is, because we're still moving forward, as opposed to trying to put the foot on the gas and think, I can just blitz through this.
Yeah, well, I think that's personality types again, isn't it? It's like people get good at something, then they just want to do everything. It's like, but you know, what's the priority? Like, we should always be looking, what is the priority with that client? Do you know, like I've just had a couple guys do the same GPP phase for the last sort of 12, 16 weeks. And they thought they were going to go on to the same programs after that. And I was like, no, you're doing this one and you're doing this one, because that's specific to what you need to be doing. So being really task specific is really important. And I think collecting data as well, like the more data we can collect, the less chaotic things can seem. You know, so like if people have it in black and white in front of them, like what they're doing in terms of nutrition and exercise and all that kind of stuff, recovery, whatever it may be, then we've got all this information that gives us feedback. If a client just wants to do everything, it's all going to come back to time, energy, effort. What's the priority? Like, people also get caught up on this hybrid training now. Like, yeah, everyone wants to do fucking hybrid training. I want to train speed, power. I do polarized training as well twice a week, where I'll go and do a compound movement, do some Olympic lifting, do some endurance-based stuff and some functional hypertrophy. But I never just got there in day one. It's like 15 years of training to be able to actually do that well. It's like, hybrid training, you know, in its entirety, if you look at someone who's doing it properly, let's take Dan Reeves, for example, 20 years being a hybrid athlete, and he was very specific at every modality for a very long time before he started to put these things together. But again, I think it just comes back to the world we're living in. You just need to go on Instagram once and you're like, oh, I want to do all these things. I want to look like this bodybuilder, but I want to run like that ultra marathon guy. And I want to do everything that he's doing. And I want to be Ross Edgley. And you're like, holy shit, like, let's just slow down. You've been training for like 18 months. So it's a case of just being very purpose driven and saying, like, what is the priority? What do you want the most? And let's put a time frame on that. And I know that when I have like my goal sheet and the performance plans for the guys, I'll just say, write your goals down and let's put a time frame on it. And that time frame needs to be achievable, and we'll tick that off as we go. And then when we've done the time frame, I'll put the priorities next to it in terms of what we need to do to achieve it. And sometimes you'll get clients who'll put 20 different goals in there. And sometimes you get clients who struggle to put in one, but that's all right. But it's just always about coming back to the priority, isn't it? It's like, look, what are we doing here? You know, we could try that, but you know, you're not going to get the results because you need to do it long enough to see the results. And you do, you get those clients that are like, what? I've got a client, he's amazing, but he was like, he came aboard, he's like, right, I play football. I want to have a training plan where I could train 5 days a week, put on muscle. I want to do a football training 3 days a week. I've also got an MMA event coming up, his first one. And I was like, slow the fuck down. Just like, yeah, dude, this ain't happening. And then actually when we stripped it back, very specific, we pulled from here, we pushed from there, and he won his match. He's fighting on the side. He's doing some low-key BJJ now. He's back on his football. He's doing really well at that. He's only training strength twice a week, once in here, once in the gym. And he's got a much better balance. But it's just about allowing the client to understand time and energy is everything. If you don't have the time and energy, then it's not going to work anyway, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's that thought process of more is always better. Like what you mentioned there about your client, I want to do this, I want to do that. But then equally, you know, strength training twice a week, sometimes people will think, right, I need to do this, I need to do this, and this. And actually, do you think, or how have you found when sometimes actually stripping things back a little bit? Again, I think the key word that we've said through this is being like effective, you know, how much time, how much effort you can put in. Do you think sometimes people can get a lot more out of doing maybe a little bit less, and just having that structure, more of that structure in place throughout their week to be like, look, you know, this is the priority. We can still have a little bit of a sprinkling of this over here, but we have that structure, we have that plan, and these are the things that we need to tick off.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think, always comes back to the initial priority. And I suppose it depends who you're training. If you're training someone who's 15, 20 years into training, they can do more. But for, I guess, like yourself and me, just we're training a lot of people that are probably in their first couple, 2 to 3 years of training. For a lot of these guys, proper training, structured training. Maybe they've been at the gym hitting some machines and doing this or that, but they're not training. They're just exercising, right? But when you start to like get them into training, it's just like, yeah, just the less is more approach. You know what I mean? Let's get really good at what we're doing. I think that's where like skill development plays a massive role. And one of the best courses I did was the skill acquisition course with Killian. He then became my coach for about 18 months, so I could actually run myself through skill acquisition to not just like understand the principle, but to actually be able to execute it as well. And I use a skill acquisition approach with all my clients. We understand, skill drives motivation, motivation drives frequency adaptations. So like when I see all my clients now, it's a case of like most of them will do an 18-month undulating effect of periodization, where like I'll just take them through very slow, steady changes within the plan, density over intensity, that kind of thing, making sure that we're basically working our way to all the barbell work, but at the same time, we're building the skill, the stability, the mobility as we build into the strength side. And that alone has such a great effect on the people that I train, because I get a lot of guys that love it because they're very like, they're all about the one thing, but you get a lot of guys that are all about the everything. But even the guys that are all about the everything, when I explain to them, look, we're going to get there, but it's going to take 12 months. But I need you to trust the program because it will fly in. Every week when I go on, I do like a weekly check-in. I only do 1 week at a time. Check the week, make the adjustments if necessary, if not, cut and paste. Next week, next week, next week, next week. And I could probably get through about 50 programs in about 2 hours just by doing it that way. And I offer them feedback. But the feedback that you send them and the weekly input is enough for them to get the stimulus they need up here to make sure that they're staying on track. You give someone a 4 week plan that's fully written out for them and you don't check in on that, they get bored because they're like, well, what's the next plan? What can I do after this? For some of them, at least, anyway. But when you're doing like weekly undulating effects, when you're doing skill acquisition based work, when you're saying, look, we need to work on this skill, because this skill is going to carry over to this strength thing, and we're going to drive output on these machines to build tissue and whatever other reasons we need to be doing it. And what I'll do is like usually 12 months to 18 months of like undulating periodization through skill acquisition. Then I'll take that skill acquisition approach and say, right, cool, you're doing really well now. We're going to go through phase work. We're going to go through GPP, hypertrophy specific, and then we're going to go through some absolute strength where we'll start to test your numbers. That first bit is going to take you 6 to 8 months, but I build the roadmap and that becomes a little bit more changeable. The GPP phase is a little bit more changeable. Maybe class it as like conjugate, isometrics, all these kind of things building in. Every plan's going to build muscle, right? Into hypertrophy, into that phase. Once they've done that for maybe 8 months, maybe a year, I say, well, cool. Now we can really niche down on the specifics. Maybe you just want to be a power lifter. So let's go and start our first 5-3-1 block. Maybe you want to just build fucking tissue. Let's go and do some kind of high volume based block to build tissue, whatever it may be. But they're already 2 years into the program. And they've not asked any questions because it's all been laid out for them. And those changes come at a much natural rate because on the weekly check-ins, the way that I periodize, they're getting that TLC on a weekly basis, knowing that they're continually moving in the right direction. And all I might change is one set, one rep, one grip position, one exercise. And it's enough for them because it gives them that stimulus, you know?
Yeah, and it keeps them focused on that task as well. Because what I liked what you said there was, right, there you go. Is this 4 week block? And it's like with anything, everyone's always looking for that next thing. Whereas actually, you stay engaged in terms of what you want to do. Ultimately, everyone gets involved in training because they enjoy it, and they're wanting to do it. You keep that enjoyment, keep that, like what you said, that stimulus on that exercise, on that program. And then, before you know it, it's a little bit like, all right, okay, cool. So I've been training for a year, and this is where we're building it from there. Is that where you think that sometimes people or trainers or coaches rely too much just on the programming side of things rather than keeping those clients, those people engaged?
Yeah, I think a lot of coach, let's say personal trainers as well, man. I think coaching is a different setup. I think you need to earn your coaching stripes these days. But as a PT, I think you get those that are just all in on the program design, but too much that they get like almost like paralysis by analysis. And then you get those that just want to do cookie cutter plans so they can get more volume of people through to make more money. You know, it may or may not work essentially. But the way I've always looked at it is like, how complex shit can I learn? How many, like you say, like earlier when you introduced me, that I've got a good list of qualifications, and I do, but they're not on my social media. I need to talk about it, because the way it's like, cool, I learned all this stuff and I peaked. And I got to the point where I was like, oh my God, like, what do I do with all this information? But then you bring it down again, you make it applicable. And it's like, actually, a good personal trainer, a good coach can take all that information they've got and just dumb it down, completely dumb it down for the client. And it may just turn into five simple exercises that you can then write down progressively. But I think a good personal trainer or a good coach should be able to sit down, and you should be able to write out in a couple hours a 12-month block of density, periodization, and how that would look over 12 months on paper. It may need adjusted, but you should be able to do that and offer ex explanations and reasons as to why the changes came in, how the changes came in, and where that leads to at the very end. And if you can do that for like a squat, bench, deadlift, I think you're already on track, and you'll save yourself a lifetime of troubles. But people, they want to learn something and apply it, want to learn something and apply it. And they basically just learn shit, and they're just guinea pigging that stuff on their clients. None of my clients train like me. None of them are doing the stuff I do, because that's me. They're doing the stuff they need to do, you know? And with such a huge variety of clients at Four Pillars of all different expertises, and we work a lot with remedial care as well. I'm very good at fixing knees, hips, shoulders, and stuff like that. It's like everyone has to have their own plan. So you'll never see like my clients doing the same shit as me online. I'll just be doing the me stuff. I think that's, you know, I think that's the whole point. It's like, guys, if you want to train like me, you got to put the hours in. But I think a lot of personal trainers are like, you're just gonna train like me from day one. It's like, fuck, you know, because they like it. They're like, oh, you're doing what I do, so I can. That means that the coach or the PT is then connecting with the client. Because I tell you, it's fucking boring when you're in here and you've just got your clients doing a cable external rotation, or they're like just learning how to do a split squat. You're like, this is fucking boring, but that's your job. Because to them, it's not boring. To them, that's like you or I doing a fucking overhead squat. You know what I mean? It's like, so we really need to accept that and just accept that. It doesn't matter how much you know about program design or how little you know, you need to know the first principles, and you need to understand how that looks on paper over 12 months. And if you can draw that roadmap out for your client, you will retain that client when it comes to how they train.
Nice. I think that from the topics that we've touched on there, I think that was a nice sort of like sum up there of, you know, look, this is what it boils down to. The last question that I like to ask Ben. So from everything that we've chatted about, whether it be from a trainer's point of view or whether it be someone who's going in the gym and he's training themselves, what would be your take-home points or words of wisdom?
Just honestly, as an old piece of shit, like, just fucking enjoy yourself. Like, stop taking this shit so seriously. Like, unless you're the top 1% for like what you're doing or you're competing, just have a bit of fun with it. Doesn't need, you know, have fun with the tracking and the recording, but I always say this: explore exercise. Find out what you like. If you're a PT, find out what your client enjoys. And if you've got to bend your strict routines a little bit to accommodate, fucking do it. And you should be smart enough to be able to still have a structure based on that flexibility. And I think if the people that are training just enjoy their training more, explore it, stop taking it so seriously, you're going to get better results. You know, drop the ego essentially, and just explore what you want to do. Because at some point you'll be old as shit, and you're not going to care so much, because you're just going to be happy you can get up every morning and swing a barbell about. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a really good words of wisdom to finish on. I think, you know, we've spoken a lot about there about structure, about, you know, gaining knowledge and, you know, building trust in. And yes, don't get me wrong, you know, there's times where, you know, things may have to be, you know, have, you know, hard conversations, but ultimately, you know, if you're going to enjoy it, it's going to stick to it a little bit more. Because, you know, yes, we've spoken about from clients' points of view of, you know, why am I doing this? I'm just going to start all over again, look for something else. From a trainer's point of view as well, you know, sometimes the things that we've spoken about as trainers, they forget what they need to do and why they're doing it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you find out why, and to me as a job, you know, there's nothing better. That's why I enjoy taking, you know, people to competitions, getting them involved in, you know, for myself, for powerlifting, strongman competitions, you know, and that and that's exciting. Thanks a lot, Ben, for taking the time to jump on. If anyone's got any questions about what we've chatted about today, or want to reach out to you, see your content, or ask you any questions, where can people find you or reach out to you?
Yeah, I do. I basically live and die on Instagram. Like, so ben.wright, so WRIGHT dot four pillars, FOURPILLARS, ben.wright.4pillars, or just follow the four pillars Instagram page and you can, yeah, follow and see me talking shit every day and just try to be my authentic self.
Yeah, nice. Well, thanks a lot for taking the time to jump on. Really, really appreciated it. Thanks a lot to everyone listening, and I will see you all next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.